With the November 3rd election day on the horizon, there's still a wave of uncertainty around everything from methods of voting to what officials will be taking over when the dust settles. Just like everyone else, that uncertainty has crept into the lives of the people with disabilities in Georgia and around the country. Even though an 8.5% increase in voter turnout for people with disabilities in the 2018 midterm elections showed positive progress after years of stagnant or declining numbers, the COVID-19 pandemic and other obstacles have put that progress into jeopardy. For nonprofits like the Georgia Council on Developmental Disabilities, there's still plenty of work to be done to aid and educate the community ahead of the election. Executive Director Eric Jacobson is still optimistic despite some worrying developments in 2020.
We believe that, again, the disability vote has been always undercounted, and that what we're able to do, if we get people to vote, is we'll create a stronger block. Mm-hmm. And we would hope that this election would build off the last election so that we have even greater numbers.
Now, those greater numbers won't come easy. For Roger Keeney, a 73-year-old Athens resident who is blind, those physical barriers really affect people with disabilities from being fully represented in elections.
Unfortunately, folks that don't have to rely on, things like wheelchairs, et cetera, they don't notice how inaccessible some places can be, and particularly inside situations.
Aside from physical barriers, the COVID-19 pandemic has put a lot of worries in Keeney's mind. He's decided that he's going to vote by mail this election just to be safe as possible. But for Georgians who are going to the polls on November 3rd, they'll be utilizing new voting machines which were brought in during the presidential primaries in June. Despite the machine's attempt to ease people's concerns about equipment malfunction, it has only managed to produce more questions for people with disabilities, especially those who are blind or have a visual impairment. The new machines use a touchscreen to vote, which is accessible to those who have visual impairment through a specific controller and headphones, as long as you can actually find them. For Danny Housley, an assistive technology acquisition manager at Georgia Tech's Tools for Life program, who is also blind, the controller wasn't even there when he went to vote in June for the presidential primary. He waited for more than 4 hours for the controller to get transferred over. In the meantime, multiple poll workers came up to him to ask if they could help cast his ballot. He declined because of privacy reasons, first off, but also just because he wanted to submit his ballot independently.
During that 4 hour plus period, I had three offers for people to just read it because they wanted to make sure that I, got out in a reasonable time. Mm-hmm. And that I was able to cast my ballot. Like, they cared about being able to cast the ballot. It was just kind of a wrong-headed way to approach.
Other than missing equipment, the verification process is impossible for those with visual impairments without the use of a smartphone, digital magnifier, or a guardian. And until June, when a rule change was made, phones weren't even allowed in voting booths for people with disabilities. Now it's on the poll workers to remember their training and allow people with visual disabilities to use smartphones in order to perform their civic duty. Poll workers in Athens are trained by the Board of Elections. Elections Assistant Lisa McGlon understands the different problems the new voting machines raise for people with disabilities, and focus her efforts on helping educate the poll workers before November 3rd.
We do pretty extensive training on how to help the ADA voters, because the machines have to be programmed, or the ballot has to be activated a certain way in order for the person who's visually impaired to be able to hear the ballot.
Aside from getting poll workers ready, the Board of Elections has brought out a demo of the new voting machine for people to test out, and they've also been working to make things as smooth as possible for people with disabilities.
So even if there's only one person with a disability that comes, we have to prepare the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So every location, there's a checklist that we have to go through before a polling place is approved. They have to meet certain ADA requirements.
While the Board of Elections has to follow state and locally mandated rules when it comes to elections, they also work on community outreach to help the voting process. This involves talking with citizens like Keeney and organizations all around Athens. Keeney understands the importance of speaking up when you're uncertain about such an important duty, such as voting.
Working from the bottom up and working with the folks, like Lisa, is extremely important. We have to speak up and work with the people that are local in our own community to begin the process of of working through and making things better for ourselves and other folks with disabilities. If we don't, we only have ourselves to blame.
So for nonprofits like GCDD, with Jacobson and his staff, finding ways to work with state and local government is crucial as the election approaches. To remind himself of his mission, Jacobson always remembers a quote from notable disability activist Justin Dart.
You know, he used to say, vote like your life depends on it, because it does. And I think for people with disabilities, that's really, really true, because it wouldn't take much to lose Medicaid or lose those services supports that people need because politicians decided it wasn't a priority.
Reporting from Athens, Georgia, I'm Andy Walsh.